Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Good morning, everybody. So good to see you. I'm Aidan. I've been part of BCV since, I reckon, about 2008. And by day, I work for Storehouse, which, if you don't know, is a compassion ministry that was birthed in this very church about the same time, in about 2008, about the same time I started coming. And Storehouse is a place of hospitality. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning, hospitality. I will be mentioning Storehouse. I'm contractually obliged to do so. But we're actually talking about life groups in our sermon series through August. And my wife Joy and I have been leading life groups in BCB for probably, 13 or 14 years. And Alan introduced our new series about life groups last week. It's Life in Community. And for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be unpacking that a little bit, talking about, well, what are the building blocks that make life group work? So we've got hospitality coming up then in the next few weeks. We've got commitment, we've got truth-telling, and we've got celebration. So that's where we're heading the next few weeks. But today we're going to hone in on hospitality. So what is hospitality? Well, when I'm thinking about what does a word mean, first place it goes a dictionary. So let's have a look at the dictionary first. So there's three meanings in the dictionary that I found. So the first one is, it's the business or act of providing accommodation, food, drink, and other services to guests. Right, I'm not sure that's really what we're talking about. So what's the next meaning? It's the friendly reception and treatment of guests or strangers. That's maybe a bit more what we're going to be talking about. The third one is the quality or disposition of receiving and treating guests and strangers in a warm, friendly, generous way. Again, might be a bit closer, but let's unpack it a bit more. So what's the word hospitality mean? Well, it's from the Latin word hospitalitas, which means friendliness to guests, visitors, or strangers. And it's that root word in the Latin, it's hospice. It's where we get the word hospital from. So it's that idea of caring for someone, maybe. When we see the word hospitality in the New Testament, it's often from the original Greek word philoxenia. And phileo means love, and xenos means stranger. So it's this sort of hospitality that we're talking about. It's not like running a restaurant. It's not like we're having our friends round for dinner. But we're receiving people into a space like a friend, whether we know them or not. We have an official Storehouse definition of hospitality. I thought you'd be more excited about that, but anyway. Our Storehouse definition of hospitality is that we believe in creating safe spaces of welcome where the stranger is received as a friend, regardless of background or status. So it doesn't matter whether it's your first time walking through the doors of Storehouse or your 1,000th time, we want you to feel welcomed as a friend, whether we've met you before or not. See, at Storehouse Hospitality, it's not so much like an action. It's a heart posture. It's your attitude. Yes, we have a hospitality team, and in church as well, here on Sunday morning, we have a hospitality team. They're ensuring that everyone who comes in is offered a cup of tea or coffee, a friendly smile, a welcome. But at Storehouse, we see it as the responsibility of all the team. And I hope in BCV we see it as all of our responsibilities. Whether we have a job description that says we should be doing it, are we ready to receive people who are currently strangers as though they're family? So that's what we're talking about today. At Storehouse, we've been inspired by Christine Pohl's book called Making Room, Recovering Hospitality as a Christian Tradition. And I'd really recommend that to all of you. And she says, hospitality is not so much a task as a way of living our lives and of sharing ourselves. So when we talk about hospitality, we're talking about the way we welcome people and receive them. And in the context of life groups, you might be thinking, well, maybe that is a job for the life group leaders or the hosts to sort out. I just need to show up and receive hospitality. Anyone thinking that? Or anyone going to admit to thinking that? Hopefully. Well, it's not quite that. There's some things here that will be directed at life group leaders and hosts of the group, but actually, it's for everyone who joins a life group to practice hospitality towards their life group. And I think if we all do that, it could have like a really profound effect on ourselves and on the others in the group, and ultimately the success of the group that you join. So, what does the Bible say about hospitality? Well, a lot. A great deal. It's a thread that like runs through both the Old and the New Testament. So there's a couple of things that I'm going to focus on. Firstly, hospitality is a demonstration of the kingdom of God. So God is hospitable towards us. There's a hospitality narrative that's throughout the Bible. The story of God is a story of God's hospitality towards us. So the Bible doesn't portray this God who sits far off on a cloud, gives out orders, just wants us to shut ourselves off from the world until we die or the world ends, and then we can go to heaven, and then we can interact with God. No, it's not like that. In the Bible, we see a God who dwells with his people. We see a God who has a relationship with his people, who reaches out to his people, who is hospitable. You know, God sent his son Jesus to earth to be with us. Jesus is called Emmanuel. It means God with us. Jesus was sent on a rescue mission, and God could have chosen to do it any way he wanted to do it, right? So, do you ever think about that? Like, God could have just sent Jesus down to earth on Good Friday morning as a 33-year-old man. Like, God can do that. He could have done that. He said, "This is my son, and I'm giving him up as a sacrifice for the sins of the world, all sorted." That would have worked. God could have done that. But he didn't do that. And do you ever wonder why? Well, there's a lot we could talk about there. That's probably a sermon series in itself. But we're focusing on hospitality today. So let's just notice, what did Jesus do with those 33 years on earth? Or at least the 3 years that we know most about from the Gospels. God did send Jesus to save us, but he also sent Jesus to live among us and to be an example that we could follow. And Jesus spent a lot of his time involved with hospitality, eating meals, on his way to a meal, talking about meals, whether like actual meals or parables about meals. We just took a meal together. Do you remember? If you've forgotten already. Communion. So that's actually Jesus' meal with his disciples the night before he went to the cross. But it wasn't just about meals. Jesus demonstrated hospitality in other ways. He offered the hand of friendship to people that he didn't know. He met broken people in their brokenness. He healed the sick. He delivered people from demons. Sounds like a pretty cool life group, that, doesn't it? Yeah? So if we're going to follow Jesus' example, we should practice hospitality. And in Luke chapter 14, Jesus is having a meal again, another meal, at the house of a prominent Pharisee, a religious leader, on the Sabbath. And he's just healed someone on the Sabbath, which seems to have upset the religious leaders a wee bit. And then he has another go at the religious leaders for taking the places of honor at the table. And then he goes on to make a point of what he thinks hospitality should be about. So it's Luke 14, verses 12 to 14. He says, "Then Jesus said to his host," the host of the meal, "when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. And Jesus goes on to tell a parable about a great banquet where the original guests reject the invitation and the poor, the crippled, and the lame are invited and come and feast. Jesus is emphasizing to the religious leaders that their motivation for hospitality should not be to be paid back. It's not a like-for-like exchange. I'll invite you to my banquet. You invite me to your banquet next week. He says, by offering hospitality to people who can't pay you back, you will be blessed. So it's not blessed by getting a banquet from somebody else the next week. It's blessed by understanding more about the kingdom of God. It's blessed by helping others. And the other thing to notice is Jesus isn't always the one doing the hard work of hospitality. So it's not always him who's like administering hospitality. He encourages others to be the host. So remember Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus, you have to do this because he was... Remember Zacchaeus? He's the tax collector, and he wanted to get a good look at Jesus. So he climbed a tree at the side of the road as Jesus came through town. And then Jesus spots him up in the tree, and he says, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. He wants Zacchaeus to be the host. Jesus was the receiver of hospitality. And he wasn't just the receiver of hospitality with the usual people. It was with a tax collector. He was the enemy of the Jews. So Jesus even received hospitality from people he wasn't supposed to receive it from. But in allowing Zacchaeus to be hospitable to him, Zacchaeus was blessed. And so was everyone who Zacchaeus had ripped off over all the years. Because it goes on to say in Luke 19, verse 8, Look, Lord, this is Zacchaeus saying, Here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Hospitality is pretty powerful. And what about the feeding of the 5,000? So the disciples tell Jesus to send a crowd away and to buy themselves something to eat. Jesus says, you give them something to eat. Jesus uses the resources of the community to feed the crowd. What have we got? Got a boys' packed lunch? No problem. That, along with the resources of heaven, is more than enough. And again, Jesus isn't using who you might expect. Like children in that culture where they didn't come up with the ideas, they couldn't help with anything. The adults need to sort this out. He used a boy with a packed lunch. He wanted the community to use what they had. And again, Jesus was the Son of God. He could have used the infinite resources that he had. Could have just said, yeah, everyone's fed. But he chose to use the resources of the community. The community was invited to take part in hospitality. And it's all through the Old Testament as well. So hospitality was actually built into the laws that God gave to Moses. And there's lots of examples. But here's one from Deuteronomy chapter 14. And it says, At the end of every 3 years, bring all the tithes of that year's produce and store it in your towns. In the King James Version, it says, store it at the city gate. So that the Levites, who have no land allotted to them or any inheritance of their own, and the foreigners, the fatherless, and the widows who live in your towns may come and eat and be satisfied, and so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. So the city gate where they were supposed to come and bring their portion of the harvest to. The city gate was a really important place in Old Testament times. It was like a place of meeting. It was a place of commerce. It was a place where important decisions might be made. But it was also the starting point of being able to care for those in need and offer hospitality in a communal way. Could your life groups be a city gate? A meeting place where people can come to and be welcomed into community? And we see the hospitality of the community lived out in the early church. Again, there's loads of examples. Starting with the first church in Acts chapter 2, sharing everything they had with the community, something Alan highlighted to us last week. Or in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9, Peter encourages the believers to offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. And I think Peter understood that it should not be treated as a task. It shouldn't be treated as a duty, but it should be a way of showing God's love. If our motivation is to do it from a sense of obligation, then it would just result in grumbling. In the recent sermon series on spiritual gifts, even Andy talked about how the Holy Spirit coming on Pentecost in Acts is another example of God's hospitality towards his people. The Holy Spirit coming to visit his people, gifting them with the ability to speak other languages, so this diverse crowd gathered could hear and understand the wonders of God in their own languages. And the Holy Spirit has been visiting believers ever since, showing God's hospitality towards his people. So our God is a God of hospitality. By being people of hospitality, we actually demonstrate the kingdom of God. It should be our response to experiencing God's hospitality towards us. Christine Pohl sums it up like this. She says, hospitality is not first a duty and responsibility. It is first a response of love and gratitude for God's love and welcome to us. That's worth repeating, that one. Hospitality is not first a duty and responsibility. It is first a response of love and gratitude for God's love and welcome to us. So when we look at hospitality this way, we can see that it's for all of us, whether we're a life group leader or not. When we're in a life group, we should practice hospitality. So what does hospitality in our life groups mean? Well, I have a few things to mention. It means making room in your heart for others. It means giving your time. But it also means receiving from others. So when you join a life group this term, would you see hospitality as something that you as a member of the life group can offer the group? Would you make room in your heart for other people in your group? You can go to the website and you can choose your life group leader. Choose the one you like the look of the most. But you can't choose who else is going to be in the group. Ooh, that's a bit scarier. But you should see the other members of your group as a family God has placed you in for this season, whether you think you're going to like them or not. You can't choose your family. Would you see that for your life group? You've chosen your life group, but the people in your life group are the family that God has placed you in for this season. So how can you respond to others in your group with hospitality? Well, as I've said, sometimes hospitality does involve food. So you might bake some goodies to bring to your life group. And if you're going to do that, there's a space in our life group for you for that. But it might not. It might be just praying for others in your group between meetings, like thinking about them, maybe sending them a message. You don't even have to be at your life group to practice a bit of hospitality with the others in your group. It might be taking time to listen to someone's story when you meet for life group. So your life group leader might not have time, probably won't have time, to fully engage with everyone in the group one-on-one every night of the life group. But you could connect with someone in the group at your life group one-on-one. You could go a bit deeper. Why not ask God to highlight someone in your group to connect with on any given night? And when God highlights the person you'd rather not talk to, don't ask him to highlight a different person. It's back to following the example of Jesus again. So he came, Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And we talk about how life groups are where relationships are built, where people feel a sense of belonging, and where we can care for each other and be cared for. But if you join a life group expecting the life group leaders to do all that for you, I think you're going to be disappointed. By seeing hospitality as everyone's job, you're serving your group and you're allowing them to serve you. In our most recent life group, we had members going through all sorts of things. Health problems, relationship problems, work problems, or you might say they were just living life. Like life happens. And we need to support each other to get through. We had people that in our life group that experienced physical healing. We had people who were given good advice over a cup of tea from another member of the life group. We had lots of prayers prayed. But Joy and I, as life group leaders, we couldn't shoulder everyone's problems. It's like a team effort. People in our group were prepared to share what was going on, and others were prepared to listen, to share how they'd overcome similar problems, to point towards Jesus, to pray for each other. And Jesus showed up. He showed up, he brought healing, he brought freedom. And that's what happens when everyone in the life group chooses to do life in life groups and not just chooses, well, I'll show up and see what I can get out of this. A big part of this is giving your time. The American author Edith Schaeffer says, the most precious thing a human being can give is time. And we'll be talking a lot more about commitment in your life group, but committing your time to other people in your life group is a big part of showing hospitality. Another thing about hospitality is that we should be willing to receive it as well. So letting other people in so they can offer hospitality to you. Here's Christine Pohl again. Hospitality is not just the act of being present to others, it's also the willingness to receive from them. I was thinking about one of our life groups a few years back. There was a couple that joined our group. They were new to faith, they were new to our church. And everyone else in the group knew the rules for these sort of groups, right? You know them. We read the Bible. We agree with the life group leader's thoughts on the Bible passage. If you're asked for prayer requests, you know, keep it light. Keep it safe. You know, maybe a relative who's sick or like work colleagues who aren't getting on. In case you're not sure, I'm being sarcastic, okay? There are no rules written down like that. But it's funny that we can fall into the habit of applying them anyway, can't we? And just to be clear, there's nothing wrong with praying for sick relatives or work colleagues who aren't getting on. That's great. But our new friends that joined the life group, they didn't know these unwritten rules that we were all applying in the background. So they just asked all the difficult questions about the Bible passages that no one else was prepared to ask. And when we came to asking for prayer requests, they made the sort of prayer requests that kind of make you shift a bit uncomfortably in your seats. But those are the sort of prayer requests that can actually unlock transformation in our hearts and our lives. But the best bit about all this was the rest of the group actually received this new couple as they were. They didn't try to tell them the unwritten rules. Didn't pull them aside and go, hey, you don't know how this works. They just received them. They received them and they joined in, actually. They brought their questions and doubts. It was like we'd been given permission to like wrestle with the tricky questions and offer our own thoughts on that. And it gave us permission to go deeper. And our prayer requests got deeper. And by receiving the others in our group as they were, That's showing hospitality. It's opening up a way for God to move in our group. Life group leaders, you might have to set the scene a bit for this to happen. You know, you're providing this physical space for the life group. You're more than likely providing some food hospitality as well, a cup of tea, a snack. But you also like set this scene for by receiving each person in your life group as a friend. Whether you've been friends for 10 years or whether you've just met them, they need to know that they're safe. They need to know that they're secure in your group. They need to know that they can be themselves and be honest. And if we're starting from that front, the group's going to follow. Your hospitality as a life group leader or host gives the group permission to go deeper. Henri Nouwen says, hospitality is not to change people, but to offer them space where change can take place. And we know that to be true in our life groups. When people are received as they are, they share more honestly, they share more deeply. When they know they don't have to behave a certain way or give the right answers to all the questions, the group goes deeper. The prayer requests get more personal and real. We get to the heart of the matter, and the Holy Spirit is invited to move in the places that really matter in our lives. And Joy and I have always tried to do this for each person in our group. Our life group generally will start the term with a meal. It's a way to welcome people into the group. It's a way to encourage them to feel at home and to let them know they're safe and secure. You can also do this through the program, and this new season of life groups will have an emphasis on knowing the others in the group, knowing them in their day-to-day lives, hearing the joys and hearing the challenges and praying for each other. In the past, we've also created space in our life groups for people to share their story, their testimony, which has been a great way to know each other more deeply. But it's also for people to contribute to the group in a meaningful way. You know, it can also be good for like maybe the less chatty people, the internal processors, got some of those in the room. They might not contribute to like a group discussion as readily or as often, but invite them to share with the group. Invite them in. The last thing I want to say about hospitality is, in the context of like our Northern Ireland or our Western culture, hospitality is like really counter-cultural. So other cultures do it better. Some are represented in this room. You do it much better. Cultures that I've met in Storehouse do it really well. But we don't always do it really well in Northern Ireland. Like our society says that you only invite the people who are going to invite you back. But that passage from Luke 14 is the opposite of that. The sort of hospitality I'm describing it is really countercultural. Society would tell us, you know, you're an individual. Our society would tell us you should just look after yourself and maybe your immediate family. Culture would tell us if you don't like someone, just cancel them. It would tell us if you're doing something for someone else, you should expect something in return. But we already know the Bible tells us the opposite of all these things. So sometimes it can feel like a fight against the prevailing culture. But if we can do it, there's abundant life, there's freedom. So you're an individual? Well, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 12, we're not individuals, we're the body of Christ. We need each other. Society tells us, well, you should just look after yourself and maybe your immediate family. But Jesus tells us that we should look after others, that we should love our neighbors. Our society tells us, well, if you don't like someone, just cancel them. But the Bible tells us in Colossians 3 that we have to bear with one another. And Jesus says we have to forgive others. So we can't just cancel them if we don't like them. We have to bear with them. We have to forgive. We have to learn to make a way. And society says if you're doing something for someone else, you should expect something in return. Well, in the passage from Luke, Jesus said, we should invite people to our banquet who can't repay us. But you know what? It's much easier to be countercultural if you're in a group of other people also trying to be countercultural. So that's the beauty of life groups. You can sign up to be part of a group that wants to be hospitable towards each other, that wants to fight against that prevailing culture.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.